these events that we're talking about, they're events that are put on by fans for fans, often at their own expense. So it's not like they're actually profiting from anything. As it mentions in the article, they don't see it as taking anything away from the franchise. In fact, they see it as bringing new being able to bring new people into it.
Welcome to Right Wings, the podcast about the craft business and the lifestyle of writing and other creative stuff, and basically just anything that we want to talk about. My name is Greg. Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, my name is Greg.
And I'm Martin.
Yes, we will get better at this, we promise. But, you know, that's part of the charm anyway. Just a little explanation. This isn't going to be the episode that we promised or that we teased last week. We generally record these podcasts on Wednesdays or Thursdays before publishing. But now we are kind of compounding recordings, and last week, relative to when you're listening to this, last episode we talked about fan fiction, and we figured, yeah, that's a good topic, and we would talk about it. And
potentially divisive.
Yeah, and you know, we did. It was a good episode. You should listen to it if you haven't already. And we figured that was about it. We knew that all of these topics are much larger than what we discuss in each episode. But we figured we would move on and talk about kind of the tools that we use or we could use in writing. But then, as it does, life happened. And there was an article on AP yesterday about Warner Brothers cracking down over Harry Potter fan events. And we figured that, yeah, that's very topical. It dovetails nicely into what we talked about, and even going further than that. So we decided to make it an entire episode to talk about this article. We will put a link in the description, obviously. And
as usual.
And even go further, and for the next episode, without getting too much ahead of ourselves, we would cap the whole thing off with some in-depth discussion about copyright itself, because we obviously would need some more research to get into the particulars. I described it as a clusterfuck of nonsense, which I still think it's very, very true. But obviously, there are many sides to this story. So,
and I'm describing it as another Greg heavy episode. So you have been warned.
Oh God, no. Well, this is Harry Potter, and this is, you know, this is your home turf.
Well, you say that.
You being British, what I mean is, you know,
what's that got to do with anything? I ask you. I mean, just because I'm British, it does not automatically mean I like Harry Potter. Thank you very much.
Do you like Harry Potter?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't. But that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Well, I still think Harry Potter is very, very, very British, and. But yeah, it is going to be kind of a Greg heavy episode, because when I read this article, it completely blew my mind. It's just despicable and horrible. It's a symptom of a larger thing and a larger problem. But yeah, in a nutshell, Warner Brothers in 2018 decided to start cracking down on fan events, and these are not your you know, get-togethers to watch the movie with a couple of friends. These are 45,000 people strong festivals, or all Harry Potter themed, and there's a lot of unpack here, and there is a valid argument from Warner Brothers regarding what they. The AP article doesn't really quote or reference the official reasoning, other than it's necessary to halt unauthorized commercial activity, which I think it would.
It's a bit vague, really.
Very vague, and it's and let's just call a spade a spade. It's bullshit, because it's peanuts compared to the hundreds of millions of dollars they do through the movies and theme park and the merchandising and whatnot, and it's just it's not like it's huge, large scale and intentional ripping off their intellectual property, whatever that means. Because I take exception to the idea that they own everything Harry Potter, even if legally they do. These are, you know, creative people expressing their talents with a certain copyrighted topic or theme, and. And it's not like they are copying official merchandising. These are things that wouldn't have been made by Warner Brothers. And yeah, it just makes me angry. It makes me sad. And it's bullying. It's corporate bullying in its worst iteration.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's worth remembering is that these events that we're talking about, they're events that are put on by fans for fans, often at their own expense. So it's not like they're actually profiting from anything. As it mentions in the article, they don't see it as taking anything away from the franchise. In fact, they see it as being able to bring new people into it by putting on these huge events, showing their own love for the franchise. You know, my own thoughts on it notwithstanding, it doesn't matter. They're still very passionate about what they enjoy, and, you know, fair play to them for that. So they're putting on these huge events for the fans, you know, as I say, at often a significant personal expense, bringing in other people to share with them the love they've got for these franchises. And then you've got Warner Brothers, who are just basically clamping down and going, no, we're not allowing it, and not giving any significant reason why. Like you say, it's corporate bullying of the worst possible kind.
Indeed. And there are a couple of interesting details with this particular story. I understand that the theme park opened recently, so one could try to make the argument that this is protecting the revenue, because it obviously a theme park is a huge investment. At the same time, we are talking about local suburban events in Philadelphia and wherever. It's just inconceivable to me that anyone would think that that the people who attend these events it hurts their interest. Like,
I honestly don't see how it could be harming the interests of Warner Brothers, because if they're bringing in new people to the franchise, you know, bringing opening more people to the enjoyment of a franchise, then they're going to be having other people who are then going to be going out and buying those DVDs and the books and everything else that's associated with that franchise. So they're actually going to be generating more income for Warner Brothers. So it baffles me as to why they're acting in this way. Although, to be fair, this is not the first time they've clamped down so hard on a franchise, because it seems to me that anything they have the rights to, they refuse to let anybody else do anything with those rights.
Exactly. It's Warner Brothers. I mean, you said that you don't really like Harry Potter. I love both the books and the movies, and I think it's probably the best thing Warner Brothers have ever produced in the last couple of decades.
It's earned them a shit ton of money, quite frankly.
That too, yeah. What also I find interesting and kind of infuriating, that Warner Brothers, who desperately need the loyalty and the love of fandom, especially after the fiasco with the DC Expanded Universe, with Justice League and Batman v Superman and those kind of movies kind of flopping at the bottom.
Are you referring to the fact that they I was about to say, are you referring to the fact that they absolutely dive bombed?
Well, yeah, you know, when Marvel makes more money in their opening weekend or opening week than Justice League did in its entire theatrical run, it kind of makes you pause.
So, it really does, yeah.
So yeah, Warner Brothers really shouldn't, you know, be doing this. All other things notwithstanding, and it's and the other thing I found interesting and upsetting is that these things aren't new. These events are annual and regular, and they had not much to say about those in the previous years, which makes mm-hmm. me, I understand that corporate gears turn really slow. But yeah. At the same time, this is just such a sharp departure from what they've been doing or allowing. And that kind of shines a light on the fact that, which probably something that we can dive into in the next episode, is that that's why we need copyright reform. It's not because, you know, copyright is one thing, enforcing it is another, but it doing it in such an unpredictable, selfish way really undermines the pseudo security that we feel. They've been allowing it, so they will allow it, and that's not always the case, and it's increasingly not the case.
On a slightly different note, I've just spotted something in the article that you're referencing, because I've got it open in front of me, and I've been browsing through it while you've been talking, and I've spotted something which it kind of underlines the extent to which Warner Brothers are going to exert their authority over this franchise. Basically, it says that a woman in the UK was sent a cease and desist letter over a Hogwarts-themed dinner party that she had planned in 2003 with a guest list of 30 people. 30 people. I mean, how is that harming anybody? It's a dinner party, a private dinner party for 30 people, probably her close family and friends. And Warner Brothers are still going, no, you're not doing that because it's our IP.
Yeah, and
what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. And I would be betting good money that she got most of the decorations from official merchandising. So that's kind of like, what?
So it would have been money that would have gone back to Warner Brothers in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, and like we discussed last week, the whole point of or the whole benefit to companies is that these people are passionate, they are joyful, they are doing their most to bring in new people into the fandom, which creates revenue for the companies. So there is absolutely no business case to be made here.
Yeah, it's just such a, I'm practically speechless. I cannot fathom the decision behind this. It makes no sense on a business standpoint. It makes no sense for them to do this, because everything that they're putting a stop to would just generate more income for them. It brings more people into the franchise, more people to, you know, have this passion and this love for everything related to the franchise, which means more people will be buying more official merchandise, because let's face it, fans always want the official stuff.
Yeah.
And when they go through the official stuff, that gets more money back to Warner Brothers.
Exactly.
It's mind-boggling.
This coming, you know, just before San Diego Comic-Con, you know, you start to wonder, you know, where does this stop? So are we going to be allowed to cosplay anymore, or that's going to be forbidden as well?
Or discussed last week, yeah, will even fan fiction be clamped down on?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, fan fiction is such a integral part of what makes up internet content, is that if this becomes a trend, if this becomes the norm, we can even see whole platforms going down because they will just lose, they will either be threatened to take down infringing works, quote unquote.
And let's face it, there is a huge amount of fan fiction that's been done about Harry Potter.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. The precise amount would I could probably look up on fanfiction.net right now and just pull off a number, but it's in the several thousands.
And on the other side of the coin is franchises like Star Wars, who have traditionally have been very generous and allowing. Obviously, there are stuff that there are stupid stuff that they did as well. Both LucasArts and I'm guessing Disney as well. But the contrast is so sharp that that Star Wars fandom and Marvel fandom are generally considered safe, or could be considered safe, compared to anything that's with Warner Brothers. And that's, you know, that's a very clear indication of who's in charge.
Yeah,
these are definitely not fans who work at Warner Brothers. These are executives who frankly don't understand fandom and don't understand, you know, you can be a fan, but only, you know, when and how we will allow it. And that's just not going to fly.
No, not at all. And, you know, eventually you're going to get all of the fans of a variety of fandoms. And that's a hell of a lot of people. And they're going to be very vocal in their protesting against Warner Brothers and these sort of actions. And when they get faced with that kind of action, then they're either going to be forced to change or forced to take even more drastic steps. And looking at the way Warner Brothers are going, they're pretty much going in that direction. And they're just going to end up alienating everyone who likes things that are associated with them, and eventually it will get back to other creatives, other creative people, and they'll end up not wanting to work with Warner Brothers. And in the very long run, Warner Brothers themselves could end up facing a significant loss, as if the recent DC movies didn't do that already.
Exactly. And it's I really like the article's theme of likening Warner Brothers to Voldemort, and the way they put it in context within the fandom.
Even this article is actually written by someone who is a fan.
Oh yeah, very clearly. But I wonder if the crackdown increases, if this fandom will go underground, and you know, you can't kill fandom, so they will lose out on all this stuff. As a person, what came to my head as an example of how far a fan would go is myself. I've 15 years ago or so, I was playing Star Wars Galaxies, the MMO, the first Star Wars MMO, and it was developed and ran by Sony Online Entertainment, which is kind of an acquisition of Sony. So it's not really a Sony company. They bought the developers, but still. They made some horrible things to the game, and they basically ran it to the ground by all objective standards. And I haven't bought a Sony product since, and I'm not gonna until the day I die. I feel that there is a very, very huge misunderstanding of the relationship or the power distribution between consumer and producer, and when you know when they piss off a fandom as big as the Harry Potter fans, they are really going to find out just how much power consumers have.
Oh yeah. It's the age-old adage of voting with their feet, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're just going to shift all of their focus away from anything Warner Brothers related and boycott everything they do. And they're going to be in a significant amount of trouble very quickly, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I would really love to see some numbers. Obviously, we will never, because that's not how it works. But I would really love to see some numbers, you know, just how many people won't go to the theme parks and buy another Harry Potter merchandise. They have a new movie coming out, for Christ's sake.
But do they?
I think it's this winter, the new the whatever the Harry Potter prequels are called.
Oh, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find.
Yeah.
I know I've already said I don't like them, and it alarms me that I know what that's called, but it's shoved in my face all the time. I can't really help it. But yeah, you're still going to get a bunch of people that are going to go to it purely on account of the fact that it's Harry Potter themed.
Yeah.
But there will still be those people who are like, well, Warner Brothers are kicking us in the teeth. Let's kick them in the teeth.
These are very separate matters. Obviously, the movie may be good. I quite enjoyed the previous ones. And it's, you know, just because the studio is being a dick, it doesn't mean that the very talented and passionate people who are more often than not fans themselves, who are making these movies and making the content. So it really shouldn't affect them, but eventually it will. And you know, like when I said you can't stop fandom, the article is very clear about that, that these events are not canceled, they are not postponed, they are not dead. They are just going to be, you know, rebranded. Instead of Harry Potter, they will have Wands and Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's first of all, that's a testament to fandom itself, in a very positive way. And the other is just, it just leaves a horrible taste in your mouth.
Yeah. Well, on a similar note, I have found yet another quote within the article. It says, "You can't put a trademark on enthusiasm and creativity." Now, there's a line for the ages, I'm sure.
The only quote from the company is, "Warner Brothers is always pleased to learn the enthusiasm of Harry Potter fans, but we are concerned and do object when fan gatherings become a vehicle for unauthorized commercial activity." And I'm just, you know, what commercial activity? It's like,
it's really not. It's not like they're selling bootleg DVDs or like homemade videos or homemade versions of the films or anything. Yeah. If they were really so worried about it, then why don't they do the more sensible thing and actually back these events, make them, you know, actually fund them so that they can actually do proper to make sure the events are run properly, and they can actually put in official merchandising in there. They can actually put they can actually make it ticketed events. Even if they made them cheap tickets for an event like that, they would still get. Because those same people that had gone to the events in the past would still come back, yeah. Knowing, in fact, more people would go to it, knowing that it was then becoming an official event, and it would actually have, you know, more money behind it, it'd have bigger production values, it'd have so much more going for it if they actually backed these things rather than slamming them down.
Yeah, exactly. Or just very simply figuring out a scalable licensing model. That's obviously not a perfect solution either, because many, especially more smaller and smaller events, won't be able to. But if it's scalable, you know, then, you know, maybe I don't know, $1 for every person or whatever it is, 50 cents a person, or I don't know, whatever makes sense. And that, you know, that would kind of show that they are actually pleased and actually approve the fans, and not
it would show them. They support their fans rather than doing what they're doing. It would actually show that they're going, you know what, this is great that you guys have this much passion, so what we're going to do is we're going to throw some money at you so you can make it better.
It's not like we, you know, we don't have the money.
They're a massive production studio and they've been going for years. They should have, I believe the old saying is, more money than God.
Yeah, 1% of the marketing budget, of a single Harry Potter movie would, you know, could fund, I don't know, 100 or God knows how many of these events.
Is it that you and I both have much better ideas than a boardroom full of executives?
Yeah, and as a marketing professional myself, I would bet anything on it that 1% of the marketing budget would yield a better ROI than anything that they are doing officially.
It's insane, is what it is.
One thing that I found quite disappointing amongst all these is the response, or lack thereof, from J.K. Rowling.
That's quite disappointing, to be honest.
And that I very much suspect that that is due to contractual matters. And I'm very sure that the deal she made with Warner Brothers when she sold the rights play into this heavily, and that's the other that's something that we should discuss when we are discussing copyrights, because you know, just package selling copyright is never a good idea, but especially in this this instance. And what I find disappointing is that she has such a tremendous power to change things. She, yep. You know, she's an icon, and rightfully so. And Harry Potter, whatever you may think about it, does have an impact that's on a massive scale. It brought back a love for reading. It brought back a love for fantasy and imagination in an era when it was at quite low levels, and I think that's a responsibility that shouldn't be ignored. But obviously, thanks to, you know, gag orders and whatnot, it is. And I find her silence disappointing, even though I can guess at the reason.
With your experience, you can probably understand this J.K. Rowling better than certainly I can. But it's not going to be understood anywhere near as well by her fans. So these are fans of primarily her works. It's not so much Warner Brothers stuff that they're fans of. It's her work that they've become fans of. So when they reach out to her for some kind of input on this, for some kind of comment, or for some assistance maybe, or whatever they're asking her for, and she just doesn't say anything, then that's going to leave them feeling almost abandoned. Turn is going to have another knock-on effect to Warner Brothers when some of these fans starts feeling jilted and refuse to return to the franchise, which will then have a knock-on effect to Warner Brothers, who will then start losing that revenue.
Yes, that's very, very true. I mean, fandom is about passion, and passion doesn't allow for much nuance. Her silence is both concerning and possibly much more damaging than you know anything Warner Brothers could do.
Yeah, it's just a very bad situation all around.
Yeah, these kind of creative outlets and creative avenues of fan fiction, and I'm not just talking about actual fan fiction, but stuff like you see in Etsy stores or on Redbubble or wherever, when people create a piece of content, and then this kind of segues into our next episode. But yeah, that's why copyright is so messy, because the IP is not theirs, but the creation is. So how much of a right they have to sell or to make money, and more often than not, you know, it's not a lot of money, but the system is just completely unable to handle this kind of scale and this kind of volume for this kind of creativity, and I'm really fearful that that the response from our corporate overlords is not going to be, you know, let's work with the creators and let's find a solution that benefits everyone and moves the world forward, because that's generally not the response we are getting. We look at net neutrality or whatever. So whenever there's a kind of paradigm shift, we tend to go backwards instead of forward, and it makes me fearful for creative people who lose these outlets, and they may be turned off from being creative at all, and that's just a tragedy.
It really is, yeah. Oh, yeah. We need more creatives in this world, not less.
that creates a nice segue into our next episode, where we aim to dive into not necessarily just our side of the conversation, because obviously there are two sides, and many more sides to this conversation, and I think it's only fair that we let the other side argue for itself, so to speak. I'm guessing that I will be playing the devil's advocate. But yeah, copyright exists for a reason, and as creatives and as creators, we certainly do understand and appreciate. I'm guessing that reason is just it has been perverted so much by things that have nothing to do with protection of ideas and content that. It became a horrible place to be, but that's
absolutely.
But that's for next week.
All I can think of to end with is just saying that, no matter what you're a fan of, no matter how you engage with your chosen fandom, never ever let anything crush the joy out of you. So if ever you encounter anything like this in your own experiences, never let this affect you. Always be passionate about the things that you love, and that joy and passion will eventually overcome the kind of obstacles that some nefarious organizations will try and put in front of you sometimes. Just never let things crush the joy out of you, ever. It's needed.
Such a beautiful thought. I actually feel bad that I have to do housekeeping, at the end of the show. Obviously, let us know your thoughts. Weigh in on this issue in particular, or just on the topic in general. Find us on Twitter at WriteRings. Or individually, you will find us on Twitter and being quite active, or send us an email, writerings.podcast@gmail.com. Leave a review, leave a comment, talk to us. We will talk to you next week about copyright, unless we change our minds and go to Cabo for the week.
Well, and that's the joy of the podcast, really, though, is that, we might plan one thing and then we'll possibly see an article that we think is relevant, as you did on this occasion. Or we could encounter something else that we feel is either more important or a better topic overall, to discuss. So. It's all fluid.
Yeah, or we could get a cease and desist letter from Warner Brothers forbidding us from discussing it. And to that, they can suck.
Damn straight. If we did get one, that would be some major publicity for us.
Oh yeah. We would be milking that publicity for years.
Yes, absolutely.
We would be the two guys being shut down by Warner Brothers. That would be amazing. Please send us a season.
We'd just turn into a pirate podcast, and we'd milk that for all it's worth.
Yeah, please send us a season. This is letter, please.
So don't forget all the usual necessary information will be in our show notes. Thanks to our technical wizard Greg. I don't think I have thanked you enough, Greg, for the work you put in on the technical side of our podcast. Your choice of background music and the lovely little sound effects you've been adding in for us, it's some pretty fantastic work. And I think a lot of this is kind of your brainchild, and a lot of the credit goes to you, I think.
Well, thank you. A lot of the heavy lifting goes to Anchor. and I've been meaning to kind of plug them as much as I can, because they are making this easy. We are thousands of kilometers from each other, and still be able to record these podcasts in an easy and intuitive way. That's amazing. And speaking of, you know, background music, because, you know, credits, give credit when credit is due. And it really is fitting, because I always use, this podcast is licensed under Creative Commons, which I think is a fantastic thing. And I also put in background music that is also Creative Commons licensed, and it usually comes with, you know, credit by, and I missed it last week because I didn't notice the particulars in time, but the background music is by Kevin MacLeod, and obviously there will be a link to the track itself in the show notes as well. But yeah, thank you everyone who creates content for others to reuse with proper credit, of course.
Absolutely.
But that's what makes us different from the corporate assholes of Warner Brothers.
Yes. Absolutely. And of course, major thanks to everyone who has tuned in so far to listen to us waffling on about a variety of writer-based things while we're still trying to, you know, not actually write.
Yeah.
And thank you to other people who have yet to tune in and who will find us in the future. I really hope you continue to listen, and I hope you're actually getting some enjoyment and some occasionally wheedling some advice out of the massive amounts of rubbish we're spewing.
I will try to talk less. It's an ongoing process.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Cheers.